Welcome back to House of Bravo, your weekly Bravo recap with a cosmic twist. I'm Emma, an astrocartographer and human design reader.
And I'm Tasha, an intuitive astrologer, also known as the agent of Pluto.
Oh, hello, first of all. But second of all, did you just see that Snoop Dogg announced that he's quitting smoking?
Yeah, he's quitting smoking, which is, I mean, I'm shocked. Are you shocked? Or are you like, yeah, you know, it felt like it's time. It's been a minute.
Okay, I want to say that nothing shocks me anymore because we've just seen time and time again to expect the unexpected. And then I saw that he has a double A rating, so I pulled up his human design chart and I can totally see, I can see it. He has, first of all, he's a 1-3 profile, which is known as the investigative martyr or the establisher of knowledge and truth. But more importantly, his sun is in gate 50, which is in the spleen, but his spleen is undefined and the spleen is all about like determining what is healthy and not healthy for you. It's very much this energy of kind of, it's okay for your values to change over time because you're getting new information. That one line, getting to the bottom of information, very Scorpio season thing, getting to the bottom and kind of like reassessing ultimately how we grow and, like I said, what's healthy for us. So I can see it in the chart, but if you would have asked me if this was on my bingo card, the answer would be no.
Yeah, look, this was a very impactful new moon, I would say, the one that just took place in Scorpio to kickstart this week. And we're in a really interesting sort of transformative portal, I would say, this whole week. After the 11-11 portal, you know, we have this synodic cycle beginning. Mars and the Sun are officially, you know, coming together in a Kazemi in the heart of the Sun over the weekend. And, you know, Mars Sun in Scorpio conjunction is very, it's quite rare. It's, I think the last time was what, in November 1991, you know, when it last took place. So with this energy, it is really amazing around like truly cutting out clean slate type of energy. Where Scorpio is in your chart is sort of this amazing opportunity for you to cut some things out, invite some things in, but kind of really level up overall, because Scorpio is about transformation. But in order to transform and in order to receive, you have to meaningfully cut things off, whether that's attachments to the past and about like relationships that aren't healthy, and whether that's a relationship with self or your habits. I mean, you know, it's all kind of tied. And I think that if he's looking to really make a stand and really say, this is a habit I'm looking to kick to the curb, or at least for the next 2 years, LOL, that's how long a Mars cycle is. This is a really great opportunity to do it.
What I think is funny is that Scorpio is in his seventh house, the house of like one-on-one friendships. And in the article that I read, it was like referencing how he and Willie Nelson, who are buddies, and Willie Nelson is also a notorious smoker, how they were like hanging out and Snoop Dogg realized that like he couldn't keep up with Willie anymore. So it's kind of interesting that this realization, the sun shining on this aspect that he so wholeheartedly is seen as and throws his efforts into, like it's a stream of income for him, all these things. But like what it was like through this close friendship with Willie Nelson that it kind of was from the article. It seems like the light bulb that kind of went off, and the sun does illuminate things. It illuminates with Mars, again, where we're putting our energy, where we're putting our efforts, like what we're dedicating ourselves to. So as I don't know. Like, I am wondering, he said smoking, he didn't say weed. So it's like, will he lean more into gummies or is he cutting out this act of cannabis consumption? That I'm curious.
Yeah, that's a good point to just to make that distinction. You know, it's interesting, right? In, as you mentioned earlier, from a transit perspective, you know, I fucking love transits. He has all his Scorpio energy, you know, he has his Venus, he has his moon, he has his Mercury, but his moon's at 15 degrees. And, you know, as you said earlier, his rating is pretty solid. So we're going to take that degree a little more seriously. This new moon, you know, took place at 20 degrees. It's within, you know, a 5 degree orb, but the moon on moon situation, I think, is pretty potent, impactful. And as you said, you know, seventh house is the house of other. And I can imagine there would be some relationships that naturally are going to evolve, because it's not going to be, you know, hey, let's smoke and hang anymore type of energy. Like, there is going to be shifting dynamics. But also, we've said before on the show, the seventh house can also be your public relationship. And so now, obviously, with his fans, people kind of, you know, there is an evolution in that relationship and a new beginning. Also interesting that his Mars has progressed into Pisces in his 12th house, you know. And if you think about the ultimate pattern breaker, narrative, sort of like letting go of a narrative, like any sort of transit to the 12th house, any kind of progression into the 12th house would indicate something that you've learned lessons from, that you're taking on with you, but ultimately like reducing your attachment towards. And Mars in Pisces, you know, if you think about substances and you think about escapism and getting high, like there is this element of cutting off that habit too. So you can kind of see this energy supported in the chart. Not only that, in terms of a really quick transit, Venus is applying to his natal Uranus, and Uranus is so much about surprising and shocking. So the idea of this coming as a surprise, I mean, you know, I didn't see this one on my bingo card for sure.
Yeah, his chart's actually very interesting. And again, like I was mentioning, his human design, he's this 1-3 profile. He's here to help the collective discern like what to value and where to place their values. And his north node is in Aquarius in the 10th house. So like, again, it's just kind of reinforcing that he's here to show people a different way in whatever that sense may be. So yeah, I love that. Would love to do his chart more in depth at some point, because my eyes jumping all over the place.
Yeah, absolutely. One thing, oh my gosh, I just realized, you know how he was like, I want to maintain my privacy in like the article that you were, you know, this next chapter, his progress ascendant is literally about to switch into Cancer, moving from Gemini into Cancer. So like his evolution of self and how he presents is turning a little more inward to the family, to the home, in the sign of Cancer, you know, and obviously like emphasized by his Scorpio moon, where it's doubling on the privacy. So it's time. I'm going to be sad to see him, you know, maybe take a step back. I mean, he was just in that Children's Place holiday commercial, or like, you know, with his whole family, which was like pretty awesome to see. So yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
Snoop forever in my heart. Well, speaking of other interesting new things today, well, not interesting, but it is John Barlow's birthday. You know, we do love a good Scorpio husband around here, Scorpio husband energy.
Yeah, loyal, devoted, all the things you want from a partner.
Yeah, ride or die energy. Very private, will keep your secrets. He's willing to hang. So, and as we see, I feel like John Barlow has just such very like steady Eddie energy. So I wonder if there's like other grounding earth elements there, you know, but loyal Scorpio partner for sure.
Yeah. Happy birthday, John Barlow.
But what did you think of Salt Lake this week? I guess we should start there since we've mentioned Barlow.
Salt Lake. So much happened. Where do we start? Well, first of all, kicking off the episode, we have Angie saying how Lisa, if you're not completely in agreement with her, she takes it as a personal affront and attack. And so immediately I like paused the screen, pulled up her chart. We've talked about her Neptune in Sagittarius, which like gives you this very, my perspective, this delusion of being right and having this like knowledge that others might not. And her Mars is conjunct that placement. So like the fact that if you don't agree with her, you're against her, just made so much sense to me.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the shadow side of Sag is the know-it-all. And so, you know, if you're going against it, it's just going to be a very tough battle. I just find it very interesting that, you know, Lisa was so, I mean, Sags are also so much about integrity and, you know, making sure you have your morals about you, you know, and I can totally see why Lisa would be so confused. Like, Angie, what are you doing? Like, you know, this person's betrayed you and you're still treating her like a good friend. Like, I can see that energy, but obviously at the end of the day, like, it's someone else's relationship and they are going to do what they're going to do, just like you're going to do what you're going to do. And you kind of just let have, like, people need to figure it out on their own. So I found that quite interesting, but you know, another side of Sag, right?
Yeah, no, I've like really been enjoying Lisa this season, and I know she's been a fan favorite in seasons past, and she just seemed so surface level to me before, and now I really feel like we're seeing like who Lisa truly is, and I appreciate it, and I really like how she's been having the conversations with Angie, even though she's a bit aggressive in them. Like, she's still, I do feel that she's listening, and I do feel like she's expressing her side. And like you just said, like that kind of that mature ability to be like, you do you and I'm going to do me, but like, please be honest with me about what's going on and be honest with yourself, which Angie showed that she wasn't. And then like the conversation with Heather. So like all these conversations that she's having, I just really feel like we're seeing a deeper side of Lisa. And I think like the listeners know at this point, that's what I'm looking for in a housewife.
Yeah. I mean, I also really appreciated that she did, she did like open for Heather this week, you know, with Away in a Manger. And of course, like, she would be known for singing a song, like a Christmas carol type of energy with all this Sag energy, with the Mercury, with the Neptune. Like, I think that's just like a funny extra, piece of symbolism to pull from that I appreciate. But yeah. Also, okay, I do see her point, right? She's on stage and she's singing, and then she sees Monica and like kind of making fun of her, and then she sees Angie kind of like laughing with her, right? So even if maybe Angie was not explicitly doing that, Lisa doesn't know. It just looks really bad as a friend.
Kind of was doing that though. I thought that was so weird. And the fact that Monica, I really don't like you know, Monica, and I said this before, like, she gives me Jen Aiden, and Jen Aiden at the beginning rubbed me the wrong way. And now like,
yeah,
I've grown on me, because we've, again, like, we've seen her grow, but oh God, I don't know that Monica's gonna get there. Like, I really think that she wants to be the villain, and she wants to, like, it's been expressed that she has less money than these other people, and I think she wants this paycheck and this platform. So I feel like that over trying so that she'll be brought back because she brought a story with her. And like, you're sitting next to Heather's fucking daughters. Shut the fuck up. Like, this is so disrespectful. First, to do that at Whitney's event, fine. There were no children there. Heather's kids are sitting right next to you. I was just,
Yeah. No. I hear you. But LOL, I did find it funny when Lisa was dropping all those F-bombs in Whitney's home.
Oh my God, and Whitney like put her in her place. Like, I don't talk like that around my family. Like, you could see Lisa was just like,
Yeah. But you know what? Here's the thing. Sag energy, fire energy. I mean, I would say more Sag than anyone will, like, and Aries, of course, you know, like, off the cuff with the F-bomb. Like, I am very sailor mouth. I remember always just getting in trouble for like dropping, and I'm like, this word means nothing other than conveying how, like, it's an emphasis. It's part of the emphasis.
Dude, I'm there with you. I'm a Sagittarius rising. My mom has always called me truck mouth. Like, I am the guy in the truck. So, yeah, as you said, Lisa, like all of Lisa's placements, not all of them. Mm-hmm.
Got such I love her SAG energy. Her SAG energy is also, is just so impeccable. You know what I mean? Like, and she has, like, I would say her SAG energy is amazing. And Nicole's on Miami SAG energy is also amazing because she's got a bunch of SAG energy, and we'll get to her later. But was there anything else on Salt Lake that you wanted to, like, highlight before we actually do jump over to Miami, actually?
Well, okay. The one thing is, that I found really interesting, and how does Mary lead a church? And she can't even get the sentence out. We had similar upbringings, Heather. Like, she's just stumbling over her words. And I, like, that's a common occurrence when she's specifically having, trying to have conversations with these ladies. She's a little better in the confessionals, which now is making me think, does she have social anxiety? But yes.
No, I think so. I absolutely think so, because I think you can kind of boil it all down to her Libra Aries. Like, her, that opposition in her chart is very loud because she has her Aries moon and she's a Libra sun. So she's a full moon baby, first of all. She also has her Chiron in Aries, potentially conjunct her moon. She has Mars in Libra, Uranus in Libra, and Pluto in Libra. So to me, you know, Aries moons, especially personal conflict, personal confrontation, is so not their forte. Like, leading a crowd, a community, or like speaking on behalf of people, totally different story. But if you're putting them in direct, like, head-to-head conflict or head-to-head, then it just becomes a lot more challenging. Then it actually becomes more avoidant. So in some way, I can kind of see, you know, she feels more comfortable not, like, with all the side comments that she's making under her breath, things like that. Like, they're not, like, she's not shy about them. And maybe when she expresses them with other people, she's also not shy about it. But again, I do see, and this scene with Heather definitely illustrates how uncomfortable Aries moons actually can be. And on top of that, you know, you look kind of like to where Mars rules, or the sign that Mars is in the chart, to give you more color. And her Mars is in Libra. So again, it's like, I want to, but also, and you see that struggle, like, really, really come through. So I appreciate you mentioning it, because I found that conversation really interesting. And yeah, it totally, to me, speaks to a chart, like, really loudly.
Yeah, no, thank you. I'm not aware of that aspect of an Aries. So, like, when I think of Aries, I think of, like, confrontation, push ahead, like the ram butting forward to get its point across. And so yes, thank you for that.
Yeah. But speaking of, you know, confrontation, I mean, or lack thereof, I don't even, I, Larsa this week on Miami, oh my God. Like, we all know I am a secret Larsa stan. It's like one of those, like, oh, I love to, like, I just find her so entertaining for me. But this was just like, if I were Gertie, I would be like, no, like, fuck off. You cannot, what? Yeah. Talk about my cancer.
Jaw on the ground. How do you know? How do you know? Like, are you fucking kidding me? Who just says I have breast cancer? And especially someone like Garrity, it's not like she's like a Mia who might be someone that would maybe say something and you would want to question it. Like, Garrity is someone of integrity, and, like, sorry, Mia, yeah. I'm not trying to shit on you here, just trying to make a point. So I was just, like, mortified by that. And then I am, like, why would Garrity want to have a friendship with someone like that? And I know you like Larsa. I never did. And she was just starting to grow on me. And this cut her back down. Like, no, thank you. You're not my
person. Yeah. Look, I was kind of like, oh my God, this is, her response to me was the most air type of energy response to an emotional conversation. Like, where are the facts? Can you prove this? Like, da da da. And I'm not saying I'm defending it. I'm just saying, like, sometimes air signs, like, don't process it emotionally. It's like, do you have all the facts before we like get our emotions involved in this? Like, I need to be very sure about it.
I understand that, but as a heavy air placement person with a moon in Aquarius, as she has, can be detached. Yeah. And even Sagittarius rising, like, where is your information coming from? That reaction was still shocking to me.
No, for sure, for sure. And then of course, you know, when you see this type of energy, you're like, oh, where's her Mercury? Where's her Venus? This is very like kind of shadow side of Venus in Gemini. I think this, not intentionally gossip, but the idea that you are relaying and reporting information.
Oh my God. I forgot that she then went and told literally every person. Every person. Every person.
Producers were amazing with that edit. 6 hours later. No, seriously. 6 hours later.
And each time she told someone, they would rewind to Garrity being like, this is in confidence. I'm not sure how I want to tell people yet. Oh my God.
I mean, look, this actually is making me wonder, because she is very Cancerian, right? She has a Cancer sun. She has Saturn in Cancer, although Saturn on her sun. So I don't know necessarily how much that Cancer actually is disciplined, that Cancerian type of energy is disciplined around safe spaces and things like that. But her Mercury is natally retrograde. And I do wonder that the opposite of a Cancer is, you know, kind of blobbing everything out. And like, maybe this is how this flavor of retrograde works, because it's supposed to be counter culture. It's supposed to be something that goes against the grain. That's so totally not expected. It's your own way of processing information. And maybe her way of processing information is by virtue of, let me talk about it with people. Because in what she's also doing is trying to alleviate herself, I think, of a little bit of the guilt, because she's then putting it on me. She's like, oh my God, what a rough day I had. Like, what a brutal this. I had to sit through this brutal lunch. Like, girl, you had to sit through this lunch, but Gertie has Cancer. Like, that's no comparison. And, you know, of course, Lashar does have Mars in Leo. And with the sun in Cancer ruling that Mars in Leo, there can be a lot of emotional narcissism. And it makes me wonder, with the Saturn there, if there should, you know, learning to be your own emotional authority, so you don't have to go to people to get that validation around, like, oh, like, yeah, you really had a hard time type of, I don't know. It felt like there was something in that energy that she was trying to do, like trying to relate to people, but also trying to process, but also trying to like alleviate some of her response guilt.
Yeah, it was something, that's for sure.
It was fucking wild. It was fucking wild. But honestly, this week was, I thought, really deep with like the emotional stuff. Like, I felt like, you know, obviously because Gertie and Russell were talking about how they were going to tell their kids, right, about the Cancer. And I thought that was a really poignant episode. And also when Gertie, you know, was talking to Martina about chemo, like there was a lot of this type of depth. And, you know, I don't think it's any surprise that this is all coming around this sort of Scorpio Mars sun energy, where it is so much about talking about these really difficult things. Also, even in Salt Lake, like I forgot to mention, you know, Meredith and Seth having that really raw conversation about the state of their marriage was so, 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 so Scorpio energy. I think Seth's a Taurus too. So, you know, Scorpio being in the other for him.
Yeah, that's interesting. And I totally forgot about that conversation. That was such a great conversation. And especially when you like think about what Kyle and Mauricio are dealing with in Beverly Hills, and how like, yeah, we're seeing a lot of these couples, even PK and Dorit, although they're not really getting deep about it, but these deep conversations are being had. And I do think of Scorpio as such a love related sign, just because, as we said,
totally,
about husbands, like it's such a devoted, it's just, it's an, yeah, I think you said ride or die, like, and it's so, yeah, interesting that these conversations are coming up now. Interesting to see the juxtaposition of Seth and Meredith, who, as you mentioned, like they fought for it, and we now see them on the other side. And Even in the beginning of their time on this show, they were in another rough patch, and like they stick with it. And everyone's talking about Kyle and Mauricio as if they're already divorced, but they could. I mean, like, we don't know what's going on, but like, it's not over till it's over.
Yeah. I totally agree. I mean, it's actually really interesting because Gertie has her Uranus at 15 degrees Scorpio. I think this new moon, this, you know, this week leading to that Mars Sun conjunction, like, is going to be a really, really big one for her releasing fear of dying, confronting that fear, that mortality, honestly, because she does have Saturn in Virgo at 0 degrees, and that can be really, really tough to accept mortality. Virgo is, that's why, you know, that's where the Virgo control comes from. It's, let me control the outcome because I'm not confident in what ultimately I can't control, you know, and a lot of it is death, right? And so I think this is a very poignant moment.
Yeah. Yeah, mortality, taking care of the body, like keeping everyone alive, mothering. Like, yeah, so much about it. It's just like thinking about the life and death of it all.
Yeah, very, very interesting. Oh, but I did mention Nicole earlier. I did, you know, here's the thing. I do appreciate some of this aspirational type of living, you know, small doses dropped in amidst some real hard-hitting drama. And I really enjoyed when they all went boat shopping, Nicole and Anthony. And I'm just like, of course, someone with SAG and Virgo energy is going to, like, have impeccable taste and also like dream very big. So I'm like, yes, give me all this aspirational type of living. Like, I'm here for it.
Agree, but we've seen so many times on Housewives shows that when you're like flaunting your wealth in this way, with the exception of LVP, and she didn't really flaunt, but like when you're really flaunting your wealth, it gets stripped from you, or like something comes out that shady dealings are happening. So I'm just like, I hope that's not the case, but they seem, and by they, I mean Anthony, seems to have like a wild amount of money. Look at all the houses and the, like, it's a lot.
Yeah.
All of that, unless, like, I don't know, maybe these properties and even the boat, maybe they're being purchased through his business, and like things are a little different then. But if this is his money, I don't know. I literally don't know. But I'm just, I it makes me cringe a little, not because they're flaunting it, but I'm like, ooh, where's it coming from? Is this legit? I really like.
Yeah.
A Jen Shaw.
that is fair. That is fair. She does have Jupiter and Neptune, which can also honestly translate to like impossible wealth. You know what I mean? Just because like Jupiter and Cap, you build. Neptune's just kind of, I mean, if you can dream it big enough, you can probably build it, is this energy in Nicole's chart. So yeah.
I mean, that out of sign conjunction between the Jupiter and Neptune is quite interesting, and they're trining her sun and Mercury respectively. So like talking about these things, like putting them out there, showing them to the world.
Yeah, no, she's her chart's like pretty elite for that, or all that energy and all her SAG in, like, I mean, she's got Mars, Uranus, Moon, Ascendant, and Neptune. Like, she's a very saggy individual. That's a very first house. Like, she is kind of who she is. It also explains why she's not going to be the first one to jump into getting, like, having the wedding situation. Like, we've talked about engagements for so long. We talked about this wedding for so long. And, like, it's very typical of SAGs again. Oh, my God, so much SAG conversation in this episode. But it just takes us a little longer to maybe be committal. I'm not going to lie. Like, just not to say that we're not committal in a partnership, but every time there's like another marking of, you know, further chains of commitment, like it becomes a weird internal battle because it's always like and value my independence. I honor my independence. I want honor my ability to kind of pick up and go wherever I need to at any given moment, my autonomy. And like in these types of situations, it's not to say she's not committed in the relationship, but it's just very you know, it's like something to really make an effort towards versus a natural, like if you're a very Libra and it's like we got married yesterday, like we're, you know, it's a different energy.
Yeah, I think also like Gemini in the seventh, I think it also is a very kind of not non-committal, but like I don't need to be tied. A piece of paper is just a piece of paper. Like at the end of the day, we know what we have, and like it is what it is.
Yeah, that makes sense. Speaking of marriages, you know, only existing on pieces of paper, moving over to Potomac. Just kidding, sorry. My Mercury's in SAG and I'm, you know, trying to be funny about it. But okay, I will say this wasn't necessarily my favorite Potomac episode, although I did like the introduction of NECA. I think she's actually gonna be really, really good. Like I like her energy on the show.
Yeah. I'm intrigued. Looking forward to seeing more.
Yes. She is a Virgo. We haven't necessarily like looked in her, you know, actual birthday and things like that, but I did remember doing a quick search. She is a Virgo, self-claimed Virgo. And I love, you know, you bring another Virgo onto the show. It's pots a stirring, you know, things are happening. She has to have some Leo too, I think.
Well, okay, yeah, I was gonna say, I feel like she has a fire sign rising because she came in hot, and I don't mean that in an aggressive way or an angry way, but it was just like bam, here I am. So
yeah,
any of the fire signs, as an ascendant, even a Gemini ascendant, like I could see. Yeah,
I mean, because she's a lawyer, right? I can see her being a Libra rising even because of that Aries connection, and you know, as we just said with Mary too, like ultimately, the Aries Libra exists, and sometimes some Libras you do get more forceful with it. Like, you know, not as like Vicky, for example, right? Vicky is a Libra rising. So, how many Libra risings have you seen that are quite loud, yeah, especially given their sun sign? Yeah, I'm excited to see. I mean, things we can expect. What other keywords can we expect from someone with the Virgo sun on the show? You know, I would say someone that's like,
controlling,
producer-esque.
Yeah, that was gonna be my next word. Speaking of Virgo and stirring the pot and manipulating, Ashley,
oh my god,
it was, you know, and it made me, I had this like ping of her Virgo Gemini mixture of energy is just so deadly, and I couldn't trust someone in this setting with those placements, with that energy. Like, I'm not saying I couldn't be friends with someone in real life, because real life is different than being on a show. But when you've got that mixture and all these things we've been, you know, it's just like between the spreading the news and having to gossip and having to connect on like the information that you have, and the controlling, manipulative kind of, and then the Gemini like low vibes of mischievous and like, let's see what happens when I poke the bear. It's a lot, Ashley.
Yeah, I mean, Ashley earns her paycheck because immediately I'm introducing a friend to the group, and I'm gonna then immediately introduce drama with it. Like, she tried to do that with what's her face last year and Chris, right? Like that whole situation. Like, here's the thing, whenever Ashley tries to do this, the drama just kind of feels like, you know what I mean?
Yes.
And when it's effortless, you know, when more like when she's like come out of maternity to kind of do something, or maternity duty, a breastfeeding duty, to like all of a sudden drop a little pot stirring in the house and then like run back on the trip. Like, yes, that's the type of shit stirring energy I want. This is just, it feels just so back to back. Like, I'm gonna, again, friend, drama, introduced together. It's very Gemini's twos.
It does feel forced, and it's annoying. And it's like she didn't even understand the shit she was bringing up. She like didn't understand the words and the concepts, and like Wendy had to explain it to her of like, no, this is what that means. Like, you don't even know my culture. Well, you don't know what you're talking about. Like, there was some random headline.
This will be interesting, obviously, at reunion. Like, I'm sure, like, you know, no one's seeing what's happening until then. So I'll see what, I don't actually even know what the relationship is. I haven't looked into where the Potomac ladies stand with each other at this present day. But yeah, I think okay, this is actually my other comment. I think there are entirely too many housewives on that title card. I think that, like, Miami, it should be shorter with some friends of, because the taglines weren't even that good. Like, none of them were good. I don't think any of them were good, if that was not clear. I fucking hated this title sequence.
I don't even know that I watched it. I think I just, like, by habit, do skip intro, and I don't think I've even listened to Potomac.
Yeah.
I'll have to make sure to do that.
Yeah, let me know. Let me know if this is, like, unwarranted SAG pedestal, like, this fucking sucks energy, or just, I just think it was too much. Like, I don't know. I feel like I love Karen. I really do. But I also kind of don't see her as a main person. I see her as, like, a friend of more than a main housewife, even though it shouldn't demote her stature. It should just be, like, Potomac and Miami, again, it is very ensemble. It's not like there are core people, I feel like. I don't know. In the same way some franchises might be built around. But yeah, that's my hot take. That's my Mercury, Mars, Sun conjunction opposing Uranus, like, off the cuff response.
Yeah, I'm just looking them up right now, and I think actually I agree with you. But I love Robbins. Like, I just took a DNA test and it turns out I 100% don't care. She doesn't give a shit. Like, she's just owning that she's fine with her husband lying to her. She wants to remain blissfully ignorant and go on with this illusion of her life. And that's what it is. And, like, at least she's owning it. Like, would I take that stance? No. But, like, she's being honest. Like, I don't care.
She also is a Virgo rising, I believe. So, you know, another Virgo.
Yeah, there's energy. So much Virgo energy on this cast. Who else? I feel like something else was Virgo heavy in the past. Was it Beverly Hills a long time ago, or am I?
No, that was Cancer heavy. Beverly Hills was VV Cancer heavy with the Fox Force 5.
But what about, like, Kim Richards, LVP, like, back in those days?
Oh, I see.
Yeah, like, I feel like old Beverly Hills was Virgo heavy because Adrian had Virgo places.
Adrian,
like,
had Virgo.
There was a time when that was Virgo heavy. And it, I just remember it got very intense. Like, it got so intense.
Yeah, I mean, and Camille, of course, with Virgo.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, that was, like, that same time. And then it turned into
Cancer life.
Yeah.
I hate that Cancer just keeps getting a bad rap on Bravo Land. First the men, then, like, the Fox Force 5. Like, anything Cancer associated, I'm just like, oh my god, like, can we get a better PR, please?
I'm just glad that the Geminis aren't taking a hit for once.
I think the Geminis will have their time. But, you know, right now we're kind of in it. Switching gears over to Beverly Hills, speaking of Fox Force 5. Oh my god. I love this Vegas episode. I think I got a lot out of it. I also knew going into this season, very thankful that we have Kyle's chart with a really great rating. So, because obviously there's going to be a lot about her habits, her marriage. And I think what really struck me this episode was, you know, how much they were talking about her drinking or not drinking, how Garcelle was like, oh, we're still doing this. Like, when is this going to stop? Everyone was giving that kind of similar energy to when, you know, Leah on Girls Trip was like, I'm not drinking. I'm sober. And everyone's like, oh, too bad. We love the old, like, there is always a lot of this energy in these types of situations. And, you know, it goes back to, this is the environment that everyone kind of has signed up for. So it feels weird when someone's, like, taking a step out and not maybe going along with everything else. But
yeah, in college, for like 3 years of college, I didn't really drink. No, I didn't drink. I just wasn't interested in it. Mm-hmm. And you would not imagine how irate people would get. It's like so many emotions come out, so many projections of what they think I'm doing it for. It's like, I totally relate to that.
She, you know, she, we've talked about her a bunch on the show, and she has Saturn in Aries, Kyle, right? And, you know, this whole conversation where she was like, oh, am I not fun anymore? I can still be fun. I think of that as such a Saturn in Aries negotiation, you know, like I'm trying to put my boundaries down, but I'm also like fun, because at the end of the day, it's a fire sign. Like it wants to be a part of that adventure and enjoyment and fun, quite honestly. So I found that really interesting, especially now as she is headed into her next Saturn return, not, you know, coming up next year, but in like 2025, 2026, right? So it's like building, the momentum is building. Also how she was talking about her marriage, you know, like, oh, you know, we are just going apart all of a sudden in one day. Like, I don't want that type of energy. So again, you see the influence of the Saturn in Aries, how she's trying to come into her own authority, but people potentially, you know, it's always the relationship with the other that's making it challenging. And she also just came out of a sixth house year going into filming. And a sixth house year in astrology can be so much about your health, your rituals, going to the gym, cutting out alcohol, your mental health, how, what that does for you. And she has her Capricorn sun in her sixth house. So herself, her body is emphasized in this conversation. Not only that, that sun rules her ascendant, her literal physical body. So body transformation, how she's now making her body sort of her soul like focus and prioritizes that energy over anything else is pretty evident. And then again, Saturn was her time lord, Saturn in Aries. It goes back to that same Saturn in Aries, like her discipline on the discipline on herself, the commitment to herself, the structure she's keeping in place, the foundation she wants for herself so that she can move forward without any regrets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I pulled up her progressions, and her progressed moon is in Scorpio in the fourth mm-hmm. house. So like it makes so much sense when she's saying that she like just wants to stay home and read a book, and Mauricio's going out and she's not really interested in that lifestyle anymore. And I think also like when we think about Kyle, she's been living that life, that Hollywood life that I have to be on and connecting with others to make a living in acting and here, and like she's ready for a different phase. And so I feel like they're just, yeah, like I mean she said mm-hmm. it too, like kind of growing in different directions. And again, like it's not that you can't work through those things, you just have to be putting in the energy to like work through those things if it's what you ultimately want even. But her natal north node is in Aries, and so to like kind of be, you know, like forging your own path makes sense. And especially it's in the ninth house. And so like following your path and your kind of dharmic way in life.
Yeah. You know what? I'm like really annoyed that they did not cut into more of that Mauricio and PK dinner. Like I found that to be really interesting. And, you know, PK is like kind of pulling all these things out of Mauricio. Mauricio's like, yeah, I mean, like I'm the sort of person that like the woman, the wife's always right. They take charge. And like, I can see that dynamic, right? Because Kyle is also a Capricorn sun, you know, in the six. It's like, I'm the head of household, de facto head of household, even though I'm maybe not like the main provider like that. But I do wish that we saw more of it, especially because, you know, Mauricio is a Cancer sun. Like, so in some sense, he was talking about how he's like conflict avoidant, basically, yes, dear, whatever you want. And like, I think it's also a very Mars and Cancer thing, admittedly, because it's like, I'm just going to keep the peace and like maybe deny like my needs as well. So in essence, right, like you kind of get two people who are playing a certain role in a family dynamic in their relation to marriage. And now you're getting to this point where it's like, I have needs too. And so, yeah, it doesn't mean that, you know, they're going to divorce or whatever. It just means that there has to be some serious negotiation around how they want to actually restructure this relationship moving forward, because it's this version of the relationship served the previous version of themselves. Now that they're starting to get more into their own innate beings, this relationship has to expand to meet them both. And it's really poignant, you know, you brought up the fourth house and where her progressed moon has moved into. You know, her progressed moon is inching towards her Mars in Scorpio, and I am hopeful that it could mean, you know, well, actually, when is that happening? It could mean, so basically, like, in the spring of next year. Spring of next year is going to be kind of interesting. Specifically, like, mid-March is going to be interesting for Kyle, I think. I hope that it means there's a moment of honest sort of recalibration that can be really, really truthful with their emotional needs, their vulnerabilities, her and Mauricio, because it's in that fourth house, again, of family. When the moon moves from Libra to Scorpio, especially, you know, in your progressed energy, it's moving from something, to your point of being like, oh, I'm so used to this Hollywood type of life, social glitzy glamour. And then it just turns very dark and serious all of a sudden. You know, it's almost as if like, whoa, someone shut the lights off, party's over. We got to confront some shit. We have to really like own some shit. And she has Pluto in Virgo, you know, so much of a body. And so a lot of these problems, or a lot of these, what might have been unearthed in this process, also coming out in how she chooses to work on her body. As Sutton said, yeah, you know, it's midlife crisis energy, but I wouldn't call it a crisis. I would just call it actually using the energy and like focusing and helping you deal with and heal the parts of yourself that, you know.
Yeah, no, totally. And I mean, Kyle even said that she's going inward and working on herself. Mm-hmm. And Pluto is conjunct her progressed ascendant in Virgo. So it's like, this changing of how you are outwardly, this like death of who you were and a rebirth of a new version of you. And maybe your party friends aren't going to be your main friends anymore, because like you're just not interested in the same stuff and you're looking for something a bit deeper and a bit more and healing and like, yeah, about longevity and enjoyment and like just going out into the mountains and doing the things that you love. And as I think you said before, like not playing a role to please other people or to, yeah.
Yeah, it's quite, I was actually really interested or curious about, Sutton and Kyle's synastry, just, you know, you talking about Pluto and Virgo for Kyle and her ascendant, progressed ascendant being in Virgo. And as we know, Sun has so much Virgo energy as well. So there's a lot of like, a lot of Sun Pluto stimulation, you know, like Sutton's natally got her Sun Pluto conjunction in Virgo, but that also is like sitting all on top of Kyle's. Like, I can see why their fights can turn quite ugly and why Kyle might need some space, especially at this moment in time where, you know, Pluto is getting triggered. You know, Pluto rules Scorpio with her progressed moon in Scorpio. It's like, yeah, I do need to draw certain boundaries around things that maybe like might be a little more triggering to myself as a form of self-care.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But they also, I mean, I can see why they would be really good friends, but they also share, oh my God, this is actually really funny. You know how like Travis and Taylor have a Venus and Mars conjunction in Scorpio? Kyle and Sutton also have a Venus Mars conjunction synastry-wise in Scorpio, which can kind of explain their... Kelsey.
Oh.
Yes. The reason why I bring it up is because this is another side of Venus and Mars in Scorpio. There can be like that conjunction. It's spicy and it's very magnetic, maybe. And there can be a lot of charisma and like, oh, it's fun to be around. But there is a lot of drama. over the course of it. And you can kind of see that play out for Kyle and Sutton as well.
Yeah. Well, when you said Travis and Taylor, I was thinking Orange County with Travis, Gina's boyfriend Travis and Taylor.
Oh. LOL.
Made me think that this week when Miami was happening and Lisa was having those discussions around Jody, like I couldn't help but make the connection to Gina and her Travis, and how like all the ladies were confronting her about, oh no, don't say these things in front of him, he's gonna leave you, and she's like, no, he's supporting me. And now it's like Lisa's going through the same thing, so I just thought that was a fun little parallel.
Yeah, I mean, Lisa with her Leo and Cancer energies, I mean, it's that can kind of be a shadow side where it's just at a certain point, it's not venting, it's wallowing. And at a certain point also, who is it really helping? Yourself? You know, questions to think about. I think that was it for the week, right? How many was that? Four shows? LOL, three shows, four shows. Can't keep count these days.
I know.
Yes, but if you are looking for more Bravo pop culture astrology content, definitely follow us along at The Cosmic Clubhouse on Instagram.
And don't forget to subscribe, rate, review, and share us with a friend.
All right. Have a good week, and we'll see you here next week.